All right, everyone, I need to reconvene this meeting. We've got more public testimony ahead, and we are behind in our schedule. So item number 11 is open public input. First person who's signed up is John Farrar. Would you, again, come forward? You have 3 minutes. And Ed Tharp, would you also come forward?
Yes. My name again is John Farrar. I'm a licensed guide here in the state of Washington, about to begin my 31st season. I have submitted a proposal, which I've emailed to the commission and to each, and I believe it's been distributed to each of you. It's a proposal. Our fishery is in a quagmire. Now, this commission, 3 years ago, as part of its wild steelhead policy, a portion of that was that rivers be set aside, removing the deleterious effects of hatcheries. Nothing has happened. A committee has been formed this summer with Heather Bartlett chairing that committee. I, of course, volunteered to be on that committee. The director respectfully sent me a letter saying my application was denied. Listen, I would like to propose that 6 rivers in the state of Washington, one in each administrative region, be set aside as wild water. Those rivers are the Grand Ronde, the Wenatchee, the Yakima, the Skagit system, I'm talking entire watersheds, and lastly, the Hull. I think I've got 6 there. What does wild water mean? It means no hatcheries fish will be introduced to these rivers' watersheds. What does wild water mean? It means that no fish will be harvested in these watersheds. What do fish eat? What sustains our rivers? Of course, it's salmon. Salmon bring the nutrient of the ocean back. Nature never wastes. And these salmon feed the habitat. Not only the wildlife, they feed the trees, they feed everything. The bears, the wolves. I guess we've got wolves now. I was here last month listening. I thought we were going to talk about fish, but...
That's your time. Thank you. Kurt Kramer, come back up. Mr. Tharp?
Yeah, I have quick rundown stuff that I got a fishing edge. And here I've seen a decline in a lot of places where I can't fish because of other deals coming up. Okay, on the two-pole deal, on these small docks and small lake access ones where shore-based anglers like me, I can't stay out in the boat very long because I have to be able to get up and move around because of my legs and condition. And I have got run off a lake because of the two people come down with two poles and they start throwing over the top of me. And I took another time I was going to take a neighbor kid out fishing. We went up to a couple of different lakes. We couldn't get the access to the bank and to the launch area because of the excess poles in there. And then on the Cedar River, I'd like to see a cutthroat retention on that, because all we're doing is stocking Lake Washington for the cutthroat. And there again, you got to fish in Lake Washington, you got to have a decent sized boat to get out there, and you're limited where you're catching these cutthroat. And I've caught especially a lot of rainbow hybrid cutthroat, because the cutthroat do interbreed with the rainbow trout. And then too, the muckle shoots have been fishing on everywhere, and they're catching and keeping. So where it's the 50% catch then to the people, because if it's supposed to be 50-50, we should be allowed to keep some of the trout too. And they've had the Cedar River closed down for years and years and years. And then they opened it for the just catch and release, because supposedly for the steelhead, but I've not seen any indication of the steelhead coming back up, or any chance for a shot at the steelhead in the Cedar River to catch or keep. And then on the rivers are closing early. A lot of us on these lakes around, especially up in the Puget Sound area, they get fished out real quick, or the cormorants come in and they clean it out, and we got a long burden of where there's no fish. You might fish all day and you only get one bite. I'd like to see some of these rivers that they're when they've closed them down early, to go to a whitefish rule regulation that they have in eastern Washington, so we can at least have some more extended time fishing time for individuals. And now on the invasive species like the humble squid, they are a high predatory thing, and they are new invasive, and California has a real big limit. We're only allowed 5.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Larry Smith, please come forward. Hey, Mr. Kramer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Commissioners, good morning again. I'm here this time with a different hat on. While I'm professionally and have some limited expertise in fish issues, I'm also a passionate waterfowl hunter, and I know little about waterfowl except what I, you know, glean from long experience and poking around. But one of my frustrations with waterfowl is how seasons are set. I understand that the bulk of our waterfowl seasons are established by federal guidelines, national abundance, those kinds of things. But in the last decade, there's been a number of changes in the state's waterfowl regulations that are generally more restrictive than those federal guidelines. I'm not here to argue about whether those were appropriate or not appropriate. It's the process that I'm concerned about. And that when those things happen, there's usually very little time for folks to get information, digest information, and get comments back to you, the decision makers. And I'd like to see some sort of extension in those kinds of issues. You can't change the federal ones, but when we do something on the state level at a more restrictive level than the federal guidelines, there's no reason that we can't push that out 6 or 8 months ahead of time, or even solicit ideas and input from the users out there. And I think this is vitally important. It's been long my contention, at least in the fish business, that the more communication that occurs between the managers and the users, the more educated the users become, and the more educated the managers become, and the end result invariably is a more responsive management paradigm to the user's needs, and that's limited, of course, by the resource capabilities. But without that communication, you don't have the benefits of all that communication, you know, the benefits from that process. And I'm here to argue that you strongly consider establishing a more formal process for waterfowl seasons. We have in the fish business, we have in the big game management, and that's my pitch, and I'll just like to take any questions, and thank you for your time.
Commissioner Carpenter has a question.
Heard me prior to my getting on the commission, because of where I live in Mount Vernon and the waterfowl activity in the area, I've been beat up to be involved in that, as you probably know. Because of your background and your experience and having retired from this agency and knowing how it works, could I suggest that you might put together a template of how you think this process could work for our review?
I'm more than happy to do such a thing. I don't kind of time frame you want to look at, but I can certainly put together some sort of suggested timeline and how that would work. And again, this is within the federal guidelines, and you know, I'm interested in the process development and not debating the various nuances of each and every change.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Commissioner Dubia?
Thanks, Madam Chair. Could you explain a little bit more what the difference? Now, we have a three-year rural cycle for hunting as well as we do for fish, and the process is pretty identical. Are you saying the waterfowl isn't?
To my knowledge, there's no similar process in waterfowl. Typically, one of the more recent examples was recent changes in the seabird, the scoters, golden eye hunting and stuff. My understanding how that worked, the decision was made in late July. The agency sent out a letter of their intent to the Washington, the Waterfowl Advisory Group, the WAG group, in July 12th of that time. 7 days or 10 days later than that, the information got out that was being considered. I spent a lot of time looking on the website trying to find a formal position from the agency. I finally found something on the website 5 days before the comments were due. And frankly, that's just inadequate for most people to sit down and provide any kind of well-reasoned and thought-out input. It's, you know, you have other obligations. Most people have other obligations, their time, vacations, those kinds of things. If we can stretch that out, you know, and I understand why traditionally those things came out in July because it was responsible to the federal national frameworks, but we're talking about something that's more restrictive, more conservative within that framework, and I see no reason that if we want to address snow geese on Fur Island that we couldn't put that out to begin the discussion process today to make a decision at the end of July. That's what I'm suggesting, and that's the kind of guideline I'd put together for Commissioner Carpenter.
Commissioner Jennings?
Thank you.
Okay. Gary Bodine, would you please come forward?
Okay, I would like to speak about your plantation of wolves in the area. I have a little experience with wolves, and my friend from Gooding, Idaho, they live right adjacent to Unit 43. Unit 43 went down, once the wolves got in there, it went downhill. And now there's no elk or deer in that unit at all. And they had a game feeding station there. They close it down because there's no game coming in. They were having, at the first, they were feeding 450-500 elk. Now there's nothing. And that's pretty well going throughout the state of Idaho. The governor even told the feds that he wasn't going to back the wolf thing anymore. And so that's my, I know you guys adopted it in fully, and but it's going to really it's going to hurt us. Up in the Cispus country, the Gifford Pinchot Forest, I've worked there in the woods and been in the woods most of my life out there. And the black-tailed deer, since the cougar ban for hunting with hounds, we no longer have cougar up there, or no longer have black-tailed deer. You have to hunt all day just to find a track, and that's poor management. I think you should put an emergency order on putting hounds out to hounds hunters out to take care of the cougar. There's no cougar. There's no black-tailed deer at all. And I live in a small area by Mossy Rock, a little farm. And my friend that's with me today, he has a large farm, 220 acres, and there's no black-tailed deer on that. And when I grew up, we lived on that farm, and those big fields back there, you'd see at nighttime, if you shined a light out, you'd see 20 or 30 deer in a field. Nothing. So we're really hurting on the black-tailed population, and the Fish and Wildlife no longer puts a game check up there at Randall. And it used to be, 20 years ago, they would have 40 to 60 deer opening day. Nothing now. So I appreciate you giving me the time to speak, and go ahead.
Commissioner Dubia.
Yeah, thanks for your testimony. I just want you to kind of comment on the sense that
okay. We
too share your concerns. And the plan that we adopted is a mandatory recovery plan. And the second phase of that will address some of the issues that you're concerned with.
Right.
And we're in a in the process of trying to figure out how we can integrate the wolves into our society and make it so that some of these issues are under control. So we hear you perfectly clear.
Yeah. The cougars really decimated the deer in our area, and there's nothing left there. So they're going to be on the endangered species.
Before you go, Commissioner Perry.
You mentioned experience in Idaho and a feeding station and so forth.
Right.
What area were you referring to?
Unit 43.
Where is that?
By Gooding. Right adjacent to Gooding, Idaho.
So, okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Gordon Rue, please come forward. Okay, Mr. Bodine.
Hi, my name is Gary Bodine. I've been a lifelong resident here of Washington. Thanks for the opportunity to come for you and speak. Today I'd like to speak about the spot shrimp fishery in Puget Sound. This is an issue I've been working on for many years. I'm a member of the Recreational Crab and Shrimp Advisory Board and work with Fish and Wildlife staff along with other members of the advisory board to try and improve the fishery. However, the ability to do so is severely limited due to a commercial fishery on the spot shrimp. Last time I was here and testified was 2 years ago with Gordon. After our testimony, I know Commissioner Schmitten wrote up a blue sheet on this for follow-up. The subject was referred to the Fish Committee, and we're here today to see that we can move this forward. I don't know what's happened since that time, but it's a very important issue to us, and I think it's something that's long overdue for review. The spot shrimp that thrive here, they're abundant. And there are literally some of the best shrimp in the world. But unfortunately, most Washingtonians never get an opportunity to find out, as we have an extremely limited recreational fishery. And there's a handout that I passed around or had, you know, should be passed around that shows what's happened in the last 10 years to the season that went from over 6 months in many areas to now literally some areas is a one-day fishery that is limited to just a few hours. So the fishery itself from the rec side is highly limited. You know, it requires an investment in gear. They're not necessarily something you can just go out and throw a crab pot out in 30 feet of water. These shrimp live deep. It requires a pot pillar, weighted pots. You're dealing with currents and weather conditions. So for those that want to go after them, it's not just a casual thing. It requires, you know, some substantial effort. So we'd like to be able to have a season to make it worth our time. There's a strong tribal fishery for these shrimp, and also there is a handful of non-tribal fishermen, and at this point, they're taking as much as 90% of the available state share in some areas. So there's virtually no time left and very little resource left for the recreational fishermen. And then these commercially caught shrimp that are caught don't even wind up on the store shelves in Washington. They wind up going to BC. They wind up going to the East Coast, California. You can't go to a grocery store and buy them. So it doesn't seem like it benefits anybody in the state to continue the route we're going. I'm going to ask you again to please open up this policy review. It hasn't been done so since 2003. And frankly, back then in 2002, prior to setting the current policy, we asked the commission at that time to give us an expanded recreation opportunity. And frankly, it was a bit of a slap in the face because they turned around and expanded the commercial fishery even over and beyond the staff recommendations. So I ask you to please open this up for review again. I think it's long overdue.
Commissioner Schmitten.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you again, Mr. Bodine. Both you and spot prawn fishery have not been forgotten. We've been overshadowed recently with the reallocation of Dungeness crab fisheries with wolves, but I can assure you this year we will take a look at the spot prawn fishery.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Gordon Rue?
Well, I'm here to address the very same issue that Gary just spoke to, and there's not basically a whole lot I can add, you know, just other than just how critical it is for the sport fishing community to get this back on the table and up for discussion. I had a handout that supposedly got passed around, and basically just a couple of graphs. We graph two things here. We take a look at the number of days of sport fishing season, 2003, the first year of the current policy. We had total, all areas, we had 205 days of total fishing. 2012, projected by the department, will be down to 25. As Gary mentioned, we have certain areas, Marine Area 11, we have one day of fishing, one day scheduled. In that particular area, the commercial fishermen, they get 60% of the total catch. Recreational get 40%. That area is one of the most populated areas of all of Washington, so it's really unfortunate that we don't have more opportunity in that specific area. And it's been, I mean, it's been nothing short of a windfall for the commercial guys. You take a look at, in 1995, recreational fishers had 75% of the spot pond resource. In the first year of the current policy, year 2003, we were down to 61% of the resource. In 2011, we had 54%. So our share of the total resource just continues to slide year after year with the current policy. So there's not a whole lot more I can add other than the fact that it really does need to get looked at. I mean, from a management perspective, it's hard to manage a one-day fishery or a two-day fishery. I mean, we got Elliott Bay. I talked 2 years ago, I referred to Elliott Bay, but here, there, you got the most populated area. People like to have access to the resource, and we really don't. We've got just one or two commercial fishermen that are taking most of the shrimp in the primary areas of Puget Sound. So, anyway, I appreciate the work the commission's done, specifically referring back to the crab issue. It was a huge success in my mind this year. Great improvement. Nothing but praise for how that went. But we'd like to see the same thing done with shrimp. Thank you.
Commissioner Carpenter?
Yeah, let me... Oh, wait. Sorry, Larry.
In all your dealings over the past number of years with the agency relating to spot shrimp, has it ever been a resource issue as it relates to conservation, or has this strictly been an allocation
issue? It's strictly an allocation issue. I mean, I got to give praise to the agency. I think that the shrimp fishery, I'm talking here just about spot prawns, but there's non-spot. There are a number of different species of prawns, but it's very well managed, and it's very conservatively managed. I think that there's decent cooperation between the state and the tribal managers, so I don't feel like we're overfishing the resource by any stretch of the imagination. It's just strictly an allocation issue, and the policy that's in effect, the way it was worded, we just continue to slide a greater and greater share to the commercial side, and yet we got, I mean, it's just, at one point it was almost like recreational participation was expanding exponentially. I mean, it's hugely popular fishery now. It used to be, when I first started 15 plus years ago, it was only in Hood Canal, but now you've got people fishing all throughout the San Juans, out in the Straits, down in the, you know, the central area of the Sound, so... But yeah, it's not an issue of population.
Well, thank you for the graph. I think that's helpful for me at least.
Commissioner Mencken?
I'd like to echo what Commissioner Schmitten said. We will take this up at the Fish Committee level and advance it to our consideration to the full commission.
Okay. I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you. That concludes this item on the agenda.